Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast. This is the next episode. You're listening to my podcast series, Welcome to the Winner's Circle. Today's episode, I have a special guest. She's also a really good friend of mine. Her name is Gina. I call her Gigi. And we will be talking about veganism in the Black community. And I believe she's tuned in right now. So
I'm here.
Gigi. Hi, Gigi. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tamika. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, no problem. Thank you for being on the episode. Me and Gigi know each other through a very popular social media group, BVS. It stands for Black Vegan Social. And actually, I met Gigi through this group. I was not vegan or plant-based, not until 2018. And I kind of toyed around with the lifestyle and the diet for a while. And then 2018, I kind of just made the solid decision. And then BVS was actually a group that I joined and kind of just helped me along the way. And then just like my relationship with Gigi kind of just grew and now we're really close friends. So Gigi, do you want to talk about just, you know, a little bit about your experience as a vegan and why you became a vegan and why you started BVS and anything else?
Okay. Well, I became a vegan January 1st, 2017. It was kind of a really rough time of my life. I was dealing with depression. And had a few like health scares on top of my, a lot of people in my family were dealing with chronic health issues. And so for me, I didn't feel like I could change a lot in my life, but I knew I could potentially change what I was, ingesting. So that means, whatever I could consume, whether it's food, things I saw, things I heard, I knew I could at least monitor that. So I went vegan, cold turkey, knew nothing about it, and immediately wanted to kind of connect so that I can learn. And at that time, I was living in Jacksonville, Florida. I had joined a few local groups. The thing that I noticed immediately was that there was like a lack of representation when it came to other people of color. And that kind of sparked me saying, okay, this lifestyle is bomb. I'm learning so much. There has to be other melanated vegans out there in my city. So I went to a local art walk, and that day I met my first minority vegan, who was an Indian guy. And I got a chance to talk to him, and I told him, I was like, I'm going to start a vegan group. You know, we both shared the sentiment that there really weren't a lot of vegans of color in, you know, locally that we knew of. So I told him I was going to start it that next month. I planned a meetup for that next month, and about 15 to 20 people showed up sporadically during the day. I had a sign saying, hey, Black vegans. And initially, the group was started as Jacksonville Black Vegan Social. And we started meeting up all the time. It kind of grew organically because from us meeting up, I started putting it on social media. And somebody kind of reached out to me, I think, in Houston. And they were like, hey, can you start one of those here? And I said, yep. Nothing about starting it or anything, but we were able to get that chapter started. Then it went down to Miami, got a chapter there, and chapters kind of like Los Angeles kind of started up where they actually had, it had structure and presidents and all of that. And then Black Vegan Social just really grew as far as the platform, the group, because again, it was Jacksonville Black Vegan Social. And once I realized that we had chapters, I started it just as a Black Vegan Social. And, you know, that's where I met you and a lot of wonderful, great people. And then we are here today. where we don't have the chapters, but we do still have the group.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. It's honestly, I didn't hear about BVS or Black Vegan Social. And then when one of my friends from back in Boston, childhood, mm-hmm. elementary school friends, were friends on Facebook, because on my personal Facebook, I was always putting like, oh, I'm not eating meat, or I'm doing Ramadan and all this kind of stuff. So she figured that I'd be interested in it. Her name is actually Maricel. And she went ahead and, you know, she's like, oh, check this page out. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then from the page, I saw that there was actually the group. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I first joined, and I was like, wow, this is cool. And I was seeing like recipes, and then you have a really good presence in the group, and you were just so interactive. And I was like, okay, this is nice. And so then it was just like, okay, this is definitely something that I found, you know, that I made the right choice in terms of my lifestyle and my diet, and in terms of like taking control of my health. Right. So do you think that now, you know, that now that you're vegan and you have, you know, one of the things that affected your decision was a health scare and depression and those things, do you think veganism is something that maybe you should have done a little bit earlier on in life? Or do you think like it came at the moment, it should have just came, and that's where it is?
Right. I totally am grateful for the moment, because mm-hmm. There were a lot of lessons attached to the journey for me, and they were right. very necessary for that season. And there was just a synergy around that time where me not knowing, and keep in mind, I've struggled with mental health issues for a while, anxieties and depression, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. this was a pivotal point for me to remove that hopeless veil and find hope and purpose in just learning about how I can control this aspect or that aspect of my life, right?
Right.
And it became such a blessing, because as I'm on this journey to restoring my faith and restoring my hope and restoring my life as a whole, I was accountable to other people. You know, I think what people enjoyed the most about me and my presence when I was really active was I was extremely transparent. You know,
right.
I never tried to come from a perspective of what you have to do. I didn't want to make it a religious type of experience, because it was so beautiful for me. And I knew if it was that beautiful for me, it would be so beautiful for others that look like me. And I think it was necessary for me to go through what I went through at that time, because they got the rawness. They got me saying, shoot, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I went to Google trying recipes and being like, you know, laughing at myself saying, this stuff tastes nasty, you know, or mm-hmm. it tastes absolutely delicious. And they got the creativity. And so what I realized too, it wasn't just about food. I know a lot of vegans come from an ethical perspective, and I thoroughly enjoy that, right? Mm-hmm. But being a Black person in this world is a different experience, right? We don't have constant luxuries. We don't have the constant opportunity. So, and then many of us have members who have suffered from some type of chronic disease, whether it's high blood pressure or diabetes, you know someone, at least one to two people removed within your family who has suffered. So we've seen that, you know, many of our communities are food deserts. You don't have the proper produce and resources. So it was a different experience that I wanted, but my community to have when it came to veganism. First and foremost, we are the culture of people who take lemons and make lemonade, right? So we took all of the trash and the filth that they gave us, like from the pig and from the cow, and we made it happy, right? We made it love. We made it soul.
Right.
And that very soul was killing us. The very times we came together and to rejoice and celebrate each other, we killed each other through what we were cooking. So I wanted us to be able to change the narrative and change our perspective and be accountable and literally take our stance about changing curse, you know, breaking generational curses, and starting with what we put in our body. So yeah, I think it was totally necessary for me in 2017 to come into contact with veganism. You know, it's not, it has not been an easy ride, not necessarily the food aspect, but to me, and I know people probably will listen and be like, what? To me, chicken wings never tasted bad. It to the point where it became something that I didn't like because I wasn't accustomed to it. But my first stance wasn't that I wanted to save a chicken. I wanted to save my own life.
Right.
You know, right. I was dealing with health issues that really, if I would have stayed on that path before I could advocate for an animal, I needed to advocate for myself.
Right.
And you know, things like me not having headaches anymore, they went away when I became a vegan. And it was just a lot that I, you know, learned and experienced. So yeah, to answer your question, I needed to be in that time.
Right.
That season. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I know when I decided to be vegan, it was funny. It was like a series of different events. Yeah. I remember the summer before. I've always kind of considered myself like a natural, holistic, health conscious type of individual, mm-hmm. even before like putting a real title or a label on it. But I remember the summer I did Ramadan with one of my friends, and it was very challenging, I'll say. Like the first 3 days was very, very hard for me. If you know anything about Ramadan, you cannot eat pretty much during the day. Mm-hmm. So you eat before sunrise for your breakfast, and then throughout the whole day, there's nothing to eat or whatever else you're giving up for the fast.
Right.
And then at sundown or sunset is when you can have your meal again. So it's almost kind of like the clock, the meal clock kind of flips in your life. And so what it taught me during that was like, you know, obviously discipline and self-control, but also it was just the thought process of, okay, if I'm only going to break fast and eat at these times, I've got to make my meal worthwhile. So that means like no McDonald's, no pizza, like no junk food, not a bunch of chips, like processed type of things. And it really had me paying more attention to what I was putting in my body, because since those were the times that I was only able to eat, that's what my body was going to feed off of. So it had to make sense. And kind of because anything that you do for like 30 days easily can turn into like a habit, the practice into a habit. So then it was like when it was done, I completed the whole 30 days. So then when it was finished, it just stuck with me. Of course, the time went back where I was eating like, you know, usually during the day. But the thought process of what I was eating is what stayed with me. And I remember even after that, I challenged myself. And I kind of made up like my own little fast where it was like, you know, for 2 weeks, only smoothies for breakfast and, you know, just weird little things I would do like that. And then it boiled down to me finally saying like, okay, no meat for the whole month of August or whatever it was, I forget. And then I had meat again, but then it was like in moderation where it was just like once a week or twice a week. And then it was alternating between chicken and fish. Right. And then during that time, I was paying attention to just thinking about the emotions behind the animal. A lot of these animals, especially here in America, that they kill for food are slaughtered. So it's just thinking about the science behind that. And, you know, right. Once this animal is killed, there is a chemical reaction that happens right. In this animal,
yeah.
A spiritual reaction or, you know, some type of energy that is happening And it goes literally from the animal and how they kill it to your store and to your plate. And then it was, some cultures, they actually find it sacred to kill an animal and then have a meal with it, so it doesn't feel as bad. So I was paying attention to a lot of that. And then ultimately, it was me meditating. And then it was like, okay, when I was done with the meditation, it was just like, you know what? Just no meat, no animal byproduct, like that kind of thing. Like when I first got into veganism or being plant-based, I really did have to research, like, what is the difference, or just what exactly does it mean to be like vegan? I'm not having the meat. That's kind of the obvious and the understood. But then what does it mean in terms of other things like dairy and other stuff like that? So being in the group when I first got in really did help me. And there are people in the group who are plant-based, so that also was an eye-opener too. I know you have mentioned like food deserts, and when it comes to food deserts too, how did you overcome that? I know for me, like, I'm in Brooklyn, so I feel like NYC as a whole anyway, they're because vegan is trending, funny enough. I feel like you can find vegan spots, you can find stores that have vegan products or, plant-based products, or just buying your natural herbs and fruits and vegetables and all of that. But some places don't have it as much as other places. What did you do in terms of like food deserts?
So where I was located, luckily, there were a lot of farms
Okay.
or farmers markets. So I had access. I did have to travel to get to it, so it wouldn't be like something that was like right up the street. A lot of
Right.
it depends on your community. Like if you live in a low to moderate income urban community, 9 times out of 10, like your grocery store is not going to have a variety of items produce wise.
Right.
You'll have a lot of processed foods, but nothing besides the little, typical fruits and vegetables that they typically have. And then
Right.
a lot of them weren't like organic. And
Right.
so I wanted to, go to our local farmers market. So I did have to travel. I lived in like Middleburg, so I had to travel to Jacksonville to get it. But it was worth it. But some people don't have that type of access. They don't have,
Right. Right. I know one
yeah.
time I was doing research and just questioning about like food deserts,
Yeah.
and upstate New York, it's not, I mean, there's a lot of farmland up there, but there's kind of not as much as the supply of vegan products or just the whole mentality of being plant-based.
Right.
And then I've learned certain areas you go to, like, when you go to California, probably anywhere you go in California, they will have vegan definitely, because I feel like that whole state is just vegan for the environment and then the diet next.
Yeah.
And when you go to places like Atlanta or other parts of Georgia, because veganism is a trend, it's a good trend, and especially in the Black community in Georgia and down south,
Right.
you have more of a variety and you have more stores that have the items that you need.
Right.
And then sometimes it goes even further to the countries that you're in, just kind of by default, like what your religious practice is. Like I know in parts of India, or mostly India, I should say, they're not necessarily vegan, but they're vegetarian, and
Right.
that's just because of their belief system. And then parts of Ethiopia and other countries in Africa, and then even down to like Israel. So it is true about the food deserts, depending on where you live. And then, like you said, if you do live in a poorer community, urban or more of a Black neighborhood, sometimes you don't have those healthier food options. Not necessarily vegan, but just health conscious food options. You have a lot of fast food places, or just a lot of like dollar store stuff, which is really processed, but it's so cheap. So it's a lot of chemicals in it. But I do see, like, now, you know, especially being in the city, a lot of people are starting to know the importance of having your own vegetables and herbs and fruits. And you see a lot more of, like, the community gardens or the urban gardens, which I think is great. And so that kind of segues into the next topic.
Okay.
Veganism as a trend. You know, it's a trend and you see people doing it. You know, you have celebrities who are now vegan. And but I wonder, sometimes I wonder, like, do people actually, like, it's a good trend, but do people really understand it? And are they doing it for the right reasons? Or is it like, oh, it's cool to be vegan? And then they associate, like, yoga and meditation and all these things, which is another great aspect of it. But are they doing it for the now? Or are they really doing it because they're aware of what it is and they're really thinking about, like, their overall health and kind of just later on down the line? I mean, I know for me, when I became plant-based, I noticed there was a difference in terms of my eye vision. It actually got better, which was funny because I haven't had the best vision, like, my whole life growing up. So when I went to the eye doctor, he was like, your vision got better. And I was like, really? And I was like, does that happen? And he was like, yeah. He's like, have you had a change in your diet? And so I credit that to deciding to have a plant-based diet and deciding to be vegan, just because that was around the time I decided to change my diet. And I just noticed, like, in myself, just in terms of, you know, not eating meat or these animal products or these processed foods, that I do have more energy. I mean, obviously I get tired because I'm a busy individual, but I don't feel, it's a different kind of tired. You know, you're not sluggish. You don't feel lazy. So, like, after a meal, I don't really get the itis, as people would call it. But, you know, versus, like, if you had, like, a burger, you probably felt like, oh, my God, I'm going to just sit here like a slump, you know? Right. So there is a difference. What do you think in terms of, like, veganism as a trend and it being a good trend? Do you think that, you know, how do you feel about that?
I guess from an ethical perspective, it's good that it's a trend because mm-hmm. a lot of animals are being saved.
Right.
Because of, you know, I guess production has gone down. I'm not sure.
yeah.
But, you know, like, you never know the lesson someone can learn, even in trends. You know, like, they could be doing it for a trend today and then stop doing it, and then maybe 2 to 3 years later they come in contact with the understanding part of it. And right. So I never really look at what's a trend. I'm actually grateful that more people of color are coming into the knowledge and practicing it, even as a discipline. I'm actually grateful because that means they're being more aware of their health. You know, like, health, being health conscious is a trend right now. You know, you have
right.
people who didn't typically go to the gym are going to the gym. People who typically just ate and lived any type of way are really monitoring it, doing fast and different things. So I think as a trend, it's pretty cool. And when people, when the universe is ready for people to, you know, really come in contact with the knowledge base or knowledge part of it, they will.
Right. Yeah. I know that for me, I was always looking at it as not what I can't have, like what I'm eliminating from my diet, mm-hmm. but what I can include in my diet.
Right.
And it really opened up my palate a little bit more to try vegetables I've never tried before or fruits I've never had before, mm-hmm. or just cooking things a different way, you know, cooking certain things together I never would have done before, cooking things a certain way. And so for me, I thought, like, that was the fun aspect behind it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, every time now when I make a dinner plate for myself and for the kids, it is always like, what does the plate look like? And I feel like I'm a creative person and I like a lot of color. So color is like my theme for every meal that I make. Sometimes it's like, is it bright enough, or it needs more bright fruit, you know, fruits or vegetables, just those kind of things. So I feel like it really opens up my mind and my palate to that. And then, you know, obviously when you are eating a different way, your body does a detox when you don't have it for a certain amount of time. So there have been times, I'll be honest, where like I've had a hiccup and like I've had a little bit of meat, or I've had like a dairy yogurt and I just feel different after. Or next thing you know, I feel like I have a headache, or just something is just off. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it does make a difference in terms of just, you know, what you're eating and then what you're not eating for a period of time and how your body detoxes that. And a lot of people go on to say, too, that, like, you know, once you detox your body of certain things like these processed foods and these animal products and these meats and things, and you replace them with real electrical foods like plants and herbs, that are living because they grow from sunlight, they have that energy in them. And it kind of just awakens a lot of your other senses, and a lot of your mind and your third eye and these different chakras and things like that. And so people kind of tie in that aspect of it and to meditation and healing and those kind of different things. So speaking of, do you have any practices that you do? Like, do you meditate, or what do you have anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I have to meditate.
Yeah, me too.
As soon as I wake up, I have to really align myself mentally, and open myself up to all the goodness and, you know, be deliberate about what I put into the universe. And I find that days that I don't do it are days that are extremely hard for me to just get through it. And, you know, one thing that kind of going back, like I stated earlier, I do focus on the mental health aspect of it and how your food does affect your mood.
Right.
So, which is something that you'll see Black Vegan Social rolling out pretty soon with Dr. Chanel Evans.
Yay.
yeah, so I do just me time in the morning. So that includes reading, that includes meditation, my time affirmations. It includes me connecting outside with the sun. And yeah, that's kind of what I do every day. I stretch outside, I exercise, drinking my water.
Right. I do the same thing with the meditation piece. And it is, I feel like it is true. It definitely is true. If you think about it, a lot of our ancestors too, they were kind of, I'll call it plant-based by default. You know what I mean? Just given that a lot of them have their own farms and that's what they ate. Or even before, way back, you know, when they were just one with the universe and nature, they were just in sync. And that was their source of energy and their source of livelihood. And you realize this every day, just like how you said with the foods and your mood, it's the same thing. You know, your gut is in sync with your mind. You know, your gut tells your mind what to do. So that's how you have that connection, that relationship. So I know you have some projects in the work and you do have your podcast that you would like to feature and premiere to everyone who wants to listen. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And
yes.
Okay.
So the name of the podcast is The Unseen Dream. And the goal is to really connect with people, everyday people, and just learn their stories. One thing that I absolutely love is talking to people and just hearing how they got to where they are today, what challenges they faced when the odds were against them, what was their motivating factor. And to me, it's really important because a lot of times when we're living our life, we get into this subjective experience where we feel like we're the only one who is going through what we're going through.
Right.
Or we are the only one who have been through what we've been through. So when you hear stories from other people, it kind of is like adding fuel to the fire within your heart to say, you know what, I can get through this. I can overcome this. I can propel myself from this place to my next level. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to encourage people, but let people encourage people, you know, let people connect with real life folks who are game changers in their community, game changers in their industry, and just kind of tell their story. Because, you know, you can always look at the exterior, but you never know what it took from them to get to that place. So that,
right.
Yep.
And I feel like that too. I feel like a lot of sometimes all it takes is hearing someone else's story,
mm-hmm.
or just somebody else's experience, and for you to just instantly make a connection and you can relate.
Yeah.
Which can actually make a change in your life, depending on what you're wanting to change.
Uh-huh.
So I do have a segment on my podcast. It's called Say What's On Your Mind. And that's kind of when anyone just will send me just some opinions or questions, any advice that they may need. They'll send it and I'll read it and it'll remain anonymous. So I won't reveal like who sent it and that kind of thing. But it's just kind of, you know, something good for people to listen to. So I have one that came in.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting. And so the question is, hold on, let me find it. The question is, where do you draw the line between spirituality and witchcraft?
So I think the biggest thing for me when it came to veganism is I had to change my perspective on what I had been taught a lot of when it came to a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was raised to be a Christian woman in a Christian household. I didn't necessarily have a choice. It was what was kind of forced upon me. And it was what I lived by and governed myself by.
Right.
In that, we were taught a lot of whitewashing. We were taught a lot of things that I would say felt like a disconnect because it wasn't who we naturally are. So it was kind of like a fear factor when it came to witchcraft. You have a lot to deal with. You have media, you have movies, you have all of those things that are constantly playing this negative role. So when I came into veganism, the biggest thing that I knew is that I could not verify things in the Bible, but I could verify that I am the product of my ancestors because I'm present.
Right.
And you know, my mother was present at that time. My grandmother was present at that time. So I know that there was a lineage in which I came from. I immediately subscribed to that because that was once present and it's proof. I'm the proof that it was once here. I removed the ideology of witchcraft, spirituality, because what we were given was not what we naturally were. You know, like,
right.
If I can say this, Black folks are spiritual beings. We really are. We're more spiritually inclined when it than any other race because you look at how compassionate we are. You look at how loving and caring we are, how forgiving we are. We're the most empathetic of all people.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change the narrative because, you know, what is witchcraft? If you look at the Bible, then half of it is witchcraft if you honestly want to.
Mm-hmm.
talk about it.
Right.
But yeah, I had to change my narrative. So I think it's for the individual. Like, your spiritual relationship is based on what you are willing to believe and you trust in. And if you don't believe or trust in that, then you go with what your convictions are. My convictions of the old no longer serve me, and my convictions now is, you know, I spend time in my meditation to call upon my ancestors and have them go before me on my behalf.
Right.
And it works for me. And if that's witchcraft, it's the best kind in the world. So
yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I agree on some of that too. So that was one of the questions that came in. So I just wanted to
ask that. They know that was just
So I hope you're not listening. No, I'm joking. I still hope you are listening.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So that's all I have for the episode, guys. And I want to thank Gigi for being here. She's not only a friend, but I really look at her as like a sister when we crossed paths. It was a very I'll say, what's the word, intense time in my life. And I feel like every time I've needed someone to talk to, kind of non-judging, she was definitely there and just giving some really sound advice. So thank you for being on the episode, guys. Thank you for listening. And, you know, check us out on Facebook and Instagram, BVS. I think also Twitter, and look out for Gigi's podcast. It's called, what's the name of it again?
The Unseen Dream. And Tamika, before I go, I would like to impeccably say, you know, we talked about your podcast before, and I just
speak
that millions upon millions will listen, and you continue to be diligent with what you have now and the audience that you have now, and you'll see the traction, I'll say, before you even hit 2021, you know? So keep at it, and continue to be a strong example for your family and for your community. And we love you, Tamika.
Thank you. I love you too. All right, guys. So until next time, be well.
Peace.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye.